We are just looking at this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a little bit as we are thinking about Family Day. We wanted to celebrate the families today. We figured that mothers had a greater pull at getting the whole family here, getting the kids here, and usually that's the case, and it seems like that is happening today. If you didn't get a picture with your family on the way in, we've got a couple of stations set up straight out there in the lobby. Stop by and get a photo, grab somebody to take a picture of your family, and have a picture made for today. And also, these flowers up front, at the end of the service, if you are 18 years or older, a female 18 years or older, you're welcome to come get a flower and as our gift to you on this day as we celebrate our families. You know, as I think about families and I talk to people and overhear a lot of talk, I hear a big tone of often of surrender in many families today. Which, by the way, if you're a parent of a young family and you feel like you're overwhelmed with what's going on in society, let me tell you, it's always been that way. Parents have always thought that there's no way to raise a child in this world that we live in. So it doesn't matter if you're 20, it doesn't matter if you're 40 or 80. When you first had kids, it kind of seemed that way. So you're facing things, though, that are different than the rest of your family, from your generations. And today I want to encourage you through the scriptures, through this passage in Deuteronomy, to help raise your children according to the ways that God commands us or instructs us. And parents, you really need to also realize this, that you have a greater impact on your children than you probably imagine. You will have a greater impact for good or bad on your children. They are learning from you in every way that you go. Now, the promise is that if we do well, here's what Proverbs 22:6 says. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I've been talking a lot about discipleship in the last couple of months since I've been here, and this verse is all about discipleship. We train up our children in the way that they should go. Discipleship starts at home, and parents should disciple their children toward Jesus as they're very young, and then when that child comes to accept Jesus, they should disciple them in Jesus. And you as a parent have the best relationship, the best opportunity to impact your child for God and for the kingdom. So we're going to look at what God tells the nation of Israel here in Deuteronomy 6 in three different ways this morning. And the first thing is that we need to build your family on reverence for God. We need to build your family on reverence for God. In the first two verses, he says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and rules that the Lord your God commanded you to teach you. Commanded me to teach you. See, it's not that easy. I just did that to make them feel good, by the way. That you may do them in the land which you are going over to possess it. That you may fear the Lord your God and you and your sons and your son's son. By keeping all the statutes and commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. The Bible contains many promises. And God gives us thousands of promises in Scripture. And we love to get those promises. We love to find those promises. We'll put them on the face of our phones. I almost said clocks. And we will put them on our computers. We'll put them in a frame and put them on our walls. We love the promises of God. But God also gives us commands. And most of the promises come after we follow the commands of God. And if you and your family want to be blessed, you will teach your kids the commands of God, and you as a family will follow them. Now, every few years, there's a new parenting fad that comes out. And a fad means that it seems right at the time, but then after a few years, everybody realizes that wasn't so smart. Now, here's some of them that came out from Good Housekeeping, did a list of things a few years back. In the 1910s, they said that washing babies in lard would make them beautiful. They told mothers not to breastfeed their babies while they were angry because it would make them colicky. They told them that children should not be held because that would make them too soft. Instead, they should put them in an oversized shoe to give them the feeling that something was around them. In the 1930s, the U.S. government published a pamphlet that said that one should start toilet training their baby immediately after they were born. Yeah, wow. In the 40s, many experts suggested that children should be given meals of liver soup starting at 3 months old. In 1947, the Canadian government published a pamphlet warning women not to listen to the radio at loud volumes because you might get too excited. In the 1950s, experts believed that baby-proofing was a sign of lazy parenting and that a child could learn what not to touch with the help of their mother yelling at them to put stuff down. Did you like that, Emily? In 1958, an issue of Mother and Baby, mothers who reported feeling sad after their babies were born, which we all know what that is today, were told to strip the paint off their furniture, and that would lift their spirits. Make them a little higher, you might say. In the 1960s, a doctor by the name of Walter Sackett recommended serving bacon and eggs to babies starting at 6 weeks. And for one family in here, I know that follows this next suggestion, that also suggested giving them black coffee to starting at 6 months. I won't mention who that is, but he's not here today. An obstetrics textbook said that expectant mothers could safely smoke up to a half a pack of cigarettes a day. You had to stop at a half a pack. In the 1980s, doctors recommended all pregnant women to gain 25 to 30 pounds, no matter what your weight was before you started your pregnancy. In the 1990s, we had the turn to having the overpacked schedules, to where children, you were encouraged to get your children in every study group, every tutoring thing, every extracurricular activity, and just to bust them to everything to keep them busy and social. In the 2000s, women were told not to cut their hair while pregnant because you can't trust your hormones to encourage you to make the right decision. So, our passage that we're looking at today is not a fad. It is the Word of God, and we should listen to it and follow it, because some of us, it's much better than some of these other things. And as we look at those just first two verses, we see it mentions the commands of God four times, and following those commandments of God will lead us to fear the Lord. Now, that's not just another wacky parenting tip. It's a principle of Scripture. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 22 at verse 4. It says, the reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor of life. Now, fearing the Lord, a definition that I gave a few weeks ago is that I will respect what the Almighty Creator God says about my place in this world and will reverently live as He says. So it doesn't mean that we tremble in fear. It means that we listen to God, we follow what He says, we respect Him and the promises that He will give us riches and honor in our lives. Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Because fearing God is a high quality to have in our lives, because it means that we revere God and we submit to Him. Now, parents answer to God in the way that they lead their homes. Jesus is the head of the church, but He's also the head of the family, and we are to follow what He teaches. You don't raise the children, your children the way you want. You don't raise your children the way you were raised. You raise your children the way that the Scriptures teach you. Show your children, parents, how the Scriptures apply to your life. Show them how you live out scriptural principles. Show them how what your rules for your home and your practices in your home, how those principles and practices can be found in the Scriptures, so that they know it's not just your idea, but they understand quickly that it's God's idea for the way things are going. Number two, build your family on a relationship with God. Now, God just told us kind of little scary things about commandments and fearing Him. Well, verses 4 and 5 say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." These are verses, these two verses right here are called the Shema in the Jewish faith. And these are recited every morning and at bedtime by the people of devout Jewish faith. A Jewish child is taught these two verses. It's the first thing they're taught as a child. And the goal is to recite them before you die, is the last thing you say. Now it says that the Lord is one. Hear, listen up. The Lord is one. He is not a mist. He's not some cosmic force. He is not one of many gods. He is one. He is a living being with a personality who thrives on a relationship with His creation. And He wants us to love Him. We are to love God, He says, with our entire being, with our heart, with our soul, with our might. It's not that we can love Him with one part and not with all parts. His command, His desire for love encompasses all of our lives. It's all of our identity, all of our actions, all of who we are, all of our giftings, all of our capacities. Everything we do, He wants us to love Him with our entire being. Now, lots of times people think that God, through the Old Testament, is very stern. He's a wrathful God. And I've heard people say, you know, I don't care too much for the God in the Old Testament. I like the God in the New Testament. And maybe you've thought that, but because people see Jesus as loving and they like what Jesus said. But remember this, Jesus was fully God. There weren't two different gods, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. They were all the same God. And so Jesus, when He tells us also the same command that we just read to love Him, we see that and go, oh, isn't that nice? Jesus wants us to love Him. But we just read it from the God of the Old Testament, the God not of the Old Testament, but God through the Old Testament. And we see that and we have to hear that as if Jesus Himself is telling us that. But here's what Jesus said in Matthew 22:37. He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." He wants us to remember this because we got it in Deuteronomy. We got it also through Jesus. It's over through the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, when you read carefully the Old Testament, you will see many times God talking about His love for us and His desire for us to love Him. That's the theme. Mom and Dad, as you love God completely, your kids will see that. And it will bring to them a desire to love God in the same way. I once read a story about a family that went to church for family dedication day. And this family had two children. They had one that was a little older and one that was newborn. And so they participated in the dedication. And they were going home after church, and their older son was sitting in the back seat, and he was very quiet, just very still, and they knew something was wrong. And the mom said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Nothing." And she said, "No, what's wrong?" And he said, "I want to stay with you." She said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Yes, I want to stay with you." They said, what do you mean? And he said, "Well, the pastor said that all children should be raised in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you too." Hopefully your kids won't say that on the way home. You see, David Platt has said, our goal in parenting is not ultimately for our kids to get a great education or be great athletes or find a great husband or wife or have a great career. Our goal for them is to love the great God. And the best way for us to do that, parents, is to saturate them with a home filled with love that exhibits love for God. The third thing we can do, though, is to build your family on the truths of God. In verses 6 through 9, it says, "And these words that I commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." His instructions are to be on everything we come in contact with. It's to be on our heart. Not only does he want us to love him with all of our heart, but he wants his word to be on our heart. How many of you kids were in Awanas this year? All right. How do you say this one? Psalm 119:11. "I have stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Good. You teach them diligently. And the word diligently means you do something over and over again. It's literally the word for like a knife sharpener, like a stone, that you just take your knife and you rub it over and over the sharpening stone over and over again. And he says that you teach these things diligently to your children. That's what that means. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Turn it over. Repeat, repeat, repeat. It's been interesting going to Awana Things this year, being here last Sunday night with the Awana Awards program, to hear the pledge to the Bible. It says what? "I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God." I think I heard some older voices there. How is it that we all know that? It's because we went over it and have heard it all of our lives, to where even Leroy sits back there and says all these things with the kids, because it's in our hearts. That's how we teach our children. We don't just sit down and have one lecture with our child on how they're supposed to behave when they go to church. That doesn't work. You have to teach the principles of Scripture over and over again. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." I think one thing that provokes children to anger is when you say one thing to them and expect them to act like an adult. They're not an adult. They're kids. And by the way, kids, you're doing great in here today. Our parents, you're doing great with your kids in here today. I don't know which one that is, but it's working well. So how do you do this? What does he say? He says you talk about God's truths in your house. He says you put these on your doorpost. So in your house, you thank God for the food that you eat before you eat it. You pray for other people. You have things in your house that remind them of God. You do it when you're out in public, when you're with others. You do things that glorify God. You share Christ with others. You minister to others. You take your kids places where they can minister side by side with you as a family. You teach these things. At bedtime, you have prayer times with them, Bible stories. You share with them and they talk and you talk about thankful things that they're things that they're thankful for that they experience that day. In the morning, you pray over the meal before everybody runs out of the house to go all their different ways. You have scripture memory. You put scripture verses on the mirror in the bathroom. You put scripture verses on the door of the refrigerator. You have these things around. You sing songs of praise in the morning. You put on songs, music that your kids like, and you just saturate your home with these things. So from the time they get up to the time they go to bed, they're just being reminded of what God wants for them. We intentionally look for ways to talk about God's word with our children. We look for things. This is how Jesus taught. Jesus would walk along and he would see a group of birds eating seeds in a field and he would start talking about the spiritual truth that is represented there. He would see some flowers growing and start talking about flowers growing in the spiritual truth. He would see a flock of sheep and start using that as an illustration. He would see a dead tree and start using that to teach a spiritual truth. Parents, do the same thing. Use some sand. Use a brick. That's all you need to do. You don't need to be a master of the Bible to teach your kids spiritual truths. Just do what Jesus did. That's what I did today. See, I got that from Jesus. That's all you got to do. On Sundays, as a family, talk about what you learned today. Ask your kids, hey, what did you learn in class today? What was your lesson about? And then tell them what your lesson was about. Ask them what they learned and how they're going to obey what God taught them as they build their house on a rock. And you tell them how you're going to obey and what you learned and your next steps and how you're going to build your house on a rock. Your children, parents, have special abilities. Each one, this is what fascinates me about how God does things. Everybody in this room is incredibly unique. Nobody is the same. And even if you have twins, they are not the same. They are different in some way. And everybody in here is that way. And your children are unique. God has given them a unique personality. He has given them unique gifts. He's given them unique talents. They're not going to be like your other children. They're not going to be like you. In every way, they're going to be unique, and God has given them to you so that they can appreciate and explore how they are unique, and they can learn to use that for God. You as a parent, you see that better than anybody else, and God gave you to them to help to bring that out in them. Look at these verses out of Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, and Joel 1, 3. It says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Joel 1:3 says, tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children to another generation. Do you see what he's doing there? This isn't just me and my house. That's where it starts. But this is, I'm going to do this for my children so they can do it for their children and they can do it for their children. This is passed down generation to generation to generation, what you start in your homes. If you're here and you're a grandparent, you're not over. It keeps going. Get those grandkids, teach them, nurture them to follow the Lord. Continue to nurture your your kids to keep the name of Jesus alive in your home. I want to encourage those of you who are dealing with the terrible twos, the terrible threes, the terrible 13s, just those terrible parenting years. And some of you might think that facing those daily struggles, you might be just running emotionally on empty. Well, don't stop. Keep going. Continue to go. Here's what Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 12 says. And when the Lord, he's told them to do all these things, and he says, and when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham and Isaac, to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. What he's doing there is saying, these days are coming. They're going to be days of grace. Because through your years as a parent, through the things that you do in your home, I am going to give you things that you didn't plan for, good things. You're going to benefit in many ways. You're going to see my grace over and over and over again. Continue to follow my ways and you will see my goodness. And when you do, don't forget where it came from. Just give me thanks. That's all I asked for. Last week, Ben Kunkel spoke in our missionary day. His mom, Jane, told me that when Ben was born and as a young child, that they were in missionary training and they were planning to go to South America as missionaries. His father died when Ben was four before they could even go. She said, but his father had this desire everywhere he went to talk to people about planting churches and to be a missionary and how to reach South America. So when she told me that, it wasn't really a surprise that these many years later, he and his family are in South America serving, planting churches. And you say, well, how can that happen? He passed away when Ben was four. Well, his mom had something to do with that. But that's the power of parenting. That's the power of the seed that you plant in your child, that God will take that and bring that to full birth. So parents, I'm asking you today to consider, what am I planting in my child? What is growing in my child because of the way that I am raising them? I encourage you to raise them in the way that the Lord teaches. And let me ask you this, one more thing, just to think about and pray about. What is your next step after hearing this message? It could be as simple as starting to pray with your kids at bedtime. It could be having family devotionals. It could be parents start having your only devotionals every day so that your kids can know that you do it and you can be a model for them. What can it be? Let me ask you to bow your heads. I don't ask you to make this decision right now because I want you to do it as a family. Maybe when you go home, maybe on later on today after everything's calmed down. Just get your family together and say, what are we going to do? How are we going to continue to make sure that we follow the ways of the Lord? Father, I thank you that you care so much about the family. God, and we do see many attacks on our families today, on the ways that we live in this society. But God, we thank you that it seems to be at your heart. And because of that, we can take courage, we can be hopeful, and we can know that there is a way, the same way that you taught the Israelites back in the book of Deuteronomy, is still true today because your truths never die, they never change. So God, I pray for every family that is here, that you, Lord, would guide their homes, that you would give these parents wisdom, that you would give them your love for their children, that you would give them a love for you that their kids can see. Give them hope. And I pray that you bring Jesus into their homes. It's in his name we pray. Amen.